The Baseball Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network is brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. Everything Blue Jays, everything baseball. Baseball Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Baseball Central. It is the Happy Friday.
Yeah.
Happy Friday edition of Baseball Central. I'm Jeff Blair. Kevin Barker, my co-host. As always, we are brought to you by our very good friends, the fine people at Home Hardware. We've got the Home Hardware Ask the Experts segment today, which I know you've been looking forward to. We've been talking about it all week.
Yeah.
It'll be good. We got good questions this week. We'll have the Home Hardware.
We can only answer one. But
yeah, we've got the Ask the Experts.
Yeah, it's a very good,
It is a good question. We've got the Home Hardware Ask the Experts segment. John Gibbons, manager of the Blue Jays, joins us at 12:15. The Blue Jays had last night off. They will start a 9-game homestand tonight with the first of three against the Tampa Bay Rays. Marcus.
Can we say that this is the biggest homestand of the year?
No.
We cannot
Mike Wilner,
say that?
No. Mike Wilner was trying to say last year that it was the biggest homestand of the century.
Because wait,
of
last year? Century,
or yesterday that it's the biggest homestand of the century.
I don't know about all that, but you got to say pretty big.
It's pretty big. Like, it is.
If they go 7-2, that's we're talking a lot more about things in October.
If they
went 2-7,
yeah, we're talking about
we're talking about where we're going to go on vacation probably.
Yeah, no, it is a big homestand. The only thing that makes it less big than we might have anticipated early in the season is the fact that the Baltimore Orioles are still setting the pace in the American League East, and the Jays are playing the Yankees, the Rays, and the Red Sox, so they're not getting a crack at Baltimore. Baltimore's 7-3 in their last 10. They've won 4 in a row, and the Orioles are kind of looking behind them going, okay, whatever, you guys just take care of each other. Marcus Stroman on the mound against Drew Smyly tonight. Drew Smyly, of course, acquired from the Detroit Tigers at the trade deadline by the Tampa Bay Rays. Marcus Stroman coming off the worst start of his still young career, two-thirds of an inning, five hits, five earned runs, in a 11-5 loss to the Chicago White Sox. And Kevin, he'll be pitching on an extra 2 days rest. I'm sorry, he'll be pitching on an extra 2 days, just to say it exactly. He'll be pitching on an extra 2 days. He also worked with pitching coach Pete Walker after that last start on, it was preventative maintenance, wasn't it? Just in case he was tipping his pitches. He worked a lot on this. His hand position when he comes to the set position. We'll talk to John Gibbons about this.
Right.
But Kevin, you always hear people talk about pitchers pitching an extra rest and what it means for him. You'll hear guys say they feel too strong. Pitchers are creatures of habit. We know that. As a hitter, did you change your approach knowing that a guy was an extra day's rest or knowing that he was in shortened rest even?
No, the only thing I would do is I think I'd be a little bit more aggressive against a guy like that because he doesn't have the feel of his pitches. That's pitching is just like hitting. You have to have the feel of something, meaning if I'm a fastball pitcher, I have to have the feel of how it comes out of my hand, where I'm stepping. And it's like you said, you have to get in a rhythm, meaning I've geared it up all year to pitch every 5 days, and now I'm pitching a 7-day. So it's like, how do I get back in a rhythm? Me, when obviously I played more in the minor leagues than there was not. We didn't really know a guy was on 7 days rest. Sure. So it was.
But when you were in the majors, guys would talk about it.
Sure. Well, yeah, when you started, that's what I did. That's what I thought is most guys are not in rhythm. They don't know where pitches are going to go. They have to try to get the feel of all their pitches. And when pitchers do that, they try to throw strikes. And when they try to throw strikes, we talked earlier a couple of days ago in the show, when you try to do things, that means you start hanging breaking balls. That means you pitch in the white and not the black. And when you do that against, especially when you're facing top-tier pitching, when you're facing a guy that's really good, you want to try to get him early. Because when you get him early, it sets the tone for the entire game. And it puts him on his heels. And then when you do that, he starts to think more. And we all know when you get the pitchers to thinking, that's a good thing for the opposing hitting. So
that really is something.
That's what I always did is I was often early guy. And you know, most of the time when I was in the big leagues anyway, I was a fastball hitter. You get the head out early. That's what I'm thinking that's what they're going to do tonight against Stroman.
What do the Jays have to, and manager John Gibbons in particular, what do they have to guard against when they send a guy out on extra rest?
I think the same thing I just said. I think you have to make sure, I think more times than not, guys that goes on a couple of days extra rest may come earlier to games, may go out and throw a little bit more before the game just to get loose, just to get the feel in the bullpen instead of trying to do that in the first two innings because, you know, you don't want to fall behind. The Jays are not a very good team when they fall behind. They need to pitch with the lead. So you have to figure out ways. That's we get back to. We talked about Aaron Sanchez yesterday making adjustments, knowing what he can and can't do well. Well, here it is again with Marcus Stroman that hasn't been around very long, knowing how to do things, knowing how to go on 7 days rest, knowing that I need to throw my fastball a lot because it's really good. It sets up everything else I throw. And when you do things like that, that's being a big leaguer. That's growing and learning how to pitch every 5 days. Like you said, well, this is 7 days, but you get the example. It's more 5 days than 7 days. So that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. If you're going to be an everyday pitcher every 5 days, this is part of it. You have to figure out how to make adjustments, and he's going to have to figure that out today.
It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. John Gibbons will join us in a few minutes. The Jays and Rays start their series tonight. Marcus Stroman, Drew Smyly Saturday, Mark Burley against Jeremy Hellickson, and then Sunday it is Drew Hutchison against Chris Archer, who Chris Archer's been a guy that we kind of been on for a while. We love watching Chris Archer.
Yeah.
Absolutely love watching.
Throws hard and got a good changeup.
Last night, by the way, the Jays are 4 back in the wild card standings. Last night, the Houston Astros lost to the Yankees 3-0. Minnesota beat Cleveland 4-1. Tampa Bay beat Detroit 1-0. I don't know. David Price, one hit, looked dominant. Alex Cobb, 2 hits, walked 2, struck out 6 over 7 innings. He's 7-0 in his last 10 starts. And, Kevin, we talked about it before coming on air. I don't know what to make of what's happening in Detroit right now. I understand you've got some serious injury concerns. Mm-hmm. I get that. But they stopped hitting.
Yeah.
They stopped doing everything.
Well, I think it started with Sanchez. When Anibal Sanchez got hurt, he's that one guy in the middle of that rotation that, you know, on any other team's an ace.
Yep.
So when he gets hurt, he goes down. Everybody else has to step it up, and Verlander's having not a Verlander year. And when that happens, and then you have your MVPs on the other side of the ball that are not hitting and all of a sudden are getting hurt, hey, this just gets back to show you that this is why you love baseball. It doesn't matter what your name is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter that your name's David Price. You have to go out every day and play well and do everything right this time of the year when you're fighting to make the playoffs. That's why baseball is so great, is this reason, is why you just can't write it down on paper. Oakland Athletics right now are seeing the same thing because they went out and got all these guys, and, you know, they're kind of scuffling too. So that's why baseball is such a beautiful game, is you never know just because you go out and get a guy that's his name's big. Still got to go out. I'm not saying David Price is not a really good pitcher and pitch really well, but it's like you said, the Detroit Tigers have a lot to worry about because the back end of their bullpen, they're not hitting. And when you don't hit and you don't have a good bullpen, man, it puts a lot of pressure on your starting pitching.
And I'll tell you the other thing, too. They've got a manager who hasn't been here before.
That's right.
Brad Ausmus.
That's right.
He has not been here before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be I've got to think that Brad Ausmus assumed there would be some challenges taking over the job.
I also
have to assume he didn't think it would be this type.
And you'd also have to think if they don't, some odd reason, they don't make the playoffs, you'd have to see that organization may be going in a different direction. Just because they spent a lot of money. Exactly right. And when you spend money, you're expected to win. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, I'm thinking you're going to see that going in the opposite direction. Now, you hope that's not the case because that's a really good team, and they are fun to watch because they have MVPs. How many teams have MVPs on both sides of the ball? You never see that. So It's going to be a fun last month of the season to watch.
Another story, another team we've been following, baseball's been following, the Washington Nationals. Well, they've won their 10th in a row, 1-0. They beat Arizona. Kansas City is the only other team to win 10 consecutive games this year. They scored on a throwing error in the bottom of the ninth inning. And I don't know when the Nationals are going to lose a game. I really don't.
It's good pitching. It's timely hitting. And when you put pressure on defense, we talk about it all the time. It's a simple game. The real good playoff teams, they do it on an everyday basis. The teams that are out on the outside looking in, they do it on occasion. That's the difference. And the Washington Nationals right now are all rolling all at the same time. Now, you would hope for their sake that they're not rolling too soon, because you still have a month and some change left in the season. You know, you may want to, not saying you can tilt it back a little bit, but they may be hitting their stride a little bit too soon when it comes, because once those teams make the playoffs, it doesn't matter who you are. Every team has a chance of winning the World Series then. It's which team gets hot and does all of those things I just said all at the same time. Whichever team does that the best, that's normally the team that wins the World Series.
Should mention, by the way, we talked yesterday, Kevin, about that suspended game. It was completed. The Cubs beat the Giants 2-1. The Giants won 5-3 in the regularly scheduled game as well. So as he pulls up the standings, you take a look at the pennant races right now. The Baltimore Orioles are leading the East. And they got a 9-game lead in the Yankees and Toronto. Tampa's 12 back. So I guess effectively, if you're a Blue Jays fan, you could almost say the Jays could bury the Rays in this series. Kansas City's got a game and a half lead on Detroit. Cleveland, very quietly, 6 games back. LA's got a 2-game lead on Oakland. The National League East, the Washington Nationals have a 7-game lead in Atlanta. I mean, they've just grabbed that division by the you-know-what. And like 41-24 home record. There's 17 games over 500.
Well, the Braves can't hit. That gets back to when you pitch and you have to hit. You have to outscore teams. You can't always rely on just pitching. And the Braves are not hitting at all. I mean, it's when you do that, you can't win games. Mm. And they're not winning games. I mean, there's no other way of putting it. That's what's wrong with the Braves.
The Brewers are leading the National League Central by game and a half over St. Louis. That's going to go right down to the final weekend. The Dodgers have a 3.5 game lead over the Giants. If you take a look at the wild card standings right now, the Toronto Blue Jays are 4 back of the final wild card spot. Seattle and the Yankees are in front of them. Detroit and Oakland right now hold the 2 wild card teams. Toronto is 65-62. And as I said, they are they're 4 games out of the wild card. This is a big series. And in the National League wild card, there's a lot of teams bunched in there. Miami, Pittsburgh, Atlanta, they're all within 4 games of the top 2 spots.
You said the Blue Jays could bury Tampa Bay. Well, they're 3 back of the Blue Jays in the wild card race. They could almost be tied if they sweep the Jays. So you're looking – this is a big – I mean, the bottom line is with the Blue Jays, they just have to come out and do what they do best. And what is that? They hit the home run ball, and they play really well at home. They can do those two things and score early. Just score and keep scoring. That's what it – get lots of guys on base, put lots of pressure on that pitching staff and that defense, and score runs. I mean, it sounds simple, but for them to win games and win in a big homestand like they have now, let's face it, they're facing 3 teams that are not playing well.
Right.
They're pitching somewhat well, but they're not playing well. Hey, you know, you're supposed to win these games. This is how you want to make the playoffs. Here you go.
The there's also mentioned the Buffalo Bisons last night. Daniel Norris pitching for the Bisons, his last start. He will be in the bullpen from this point on. He'll, I would assume, when the rosters expand, will join the Jays and give John Gibbons another fresh arm out of the bullpen. We're just a few seconds away from being joined by the manager of the Blue Jays, John Gibbons. And Kevin, as you take a look at Drew Smyly, I know before we came on the air, you were looking at him. What do the Jays have to be aware of with Drew Smyly on the mound?
Obviously, he has swing and miss stuff, meaning that his stuff is good enough to get swinging misses often and early. You can't let him get ahead of you He pitches really well. He's a very confident pitcher, and confidence sometimes overweighs inabilities to do certain things. And when he gets confident, you have to get this guy early, swing often and early, but swing at strikes. So if you have a certain go up, look in a certain location, you get it, put a good swing on it, put it in play. And like I said, put lots of pressure on that defense. The more you do that, the more opportunities you have of scoring runs. And this is how the Jays are going to win in this 9-game homestand. Score and keep scoring. And if they do that, they're going to have a good chance.
Well, we will be joined by the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, or we are joined by the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, John Gibbons. Good morning, Mr. Gibbons.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Mr. Gibbons. How you doing?
Doing good.
Good.
So Kevin was just talking about Drew Smyly. And we had a conversation, John, in spring training about just about how the Rays, as an organization, attack the Blue Jays. And you were making the point that even in spring training, it's remarkable how the Rays have, you can tell they have a definite philosophy when it comes to facing your team, can't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've... You see a lot of off-speed pitches, things like that. But you know, one thing, I mean, they're starters. You know, they got a great idea. I mean, they've come a long way, even their young guys, on becoming complete pitchers, and they have the ability to throw their off-speed stuff behind in the count. You know, really at any time. And they really attacked us, you know, that way during spring training. During the season, I mean, we see some of it, but I mean, it's a tough pitching staff. I mean, their starting pitching is to their team really what our offense is to our team. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, everything's built around that, and it's a pretty good bunch, that's for sure.
Yeah, Gibby. With that being said, you want to put your best lineup on the field. Is there any chance of us seeing Adam Lind playing against left-handers?
Well, you know, he's had a tough time against lefties, you know, this year. So, I mean. Yeah, there may be a situation and a bat that comes up that if he's in there that he may face a guy. But you know, we brought in Valencia and Reimold, and we have Tolleson. I mean, those are the guys we want to play against lefties. Are all all good against particular lefties anyway. So you'll see those guys tonight. But Lindy's sitting over there. He'd be laying in the weeds for that opportunity to come in. Maybe face a tough righty, and then if he's still in the game, he'll face a lefty later if he has to.
Right.
John, with Marcus Stroman on the mound tonight on a couple extra days rest, what do you watch for as a manager and as a guy who was a catcher? What do you watch for when you have a pitcher, particularly a young pitcher, and he's going on extra days rest?
Well, Jeff, you know what? It's not always ideal that these guys, you know, they're very routine, getting those routines, and you know, sometimes a couple extra days, one extra day, two, whatever it is that. You know, it can throw them out of whack some. But, you know, this time of year, you know, Stroh being a youngster and very inexperienced at this level, I mean, and he's starting to, you know, accumulate some innings on the year. You know, it's probably the best thing for him. But it can throw pitchers out of whack a little bit. But, you know, with all these off days, too, it was something that we had to do. But the first, you know, a lot of times what happens is they're a little bit too strong after a couple days, extra days, and so they're throwing the ball through the strike zone, overpowering it a little bit. And so you watch for that. Sometimes they have trouble finding the feel of that breaking ball, their off speed stuff. But you can tell that early on. But you know, generally though, you know, if they survive early on, you know they find that rhythm again and everything settles down. But usually when they're going on extra days rest, they're usually stronger, too strong sometimes.
Gibby, speaking of innings, Kyle Drabek had a good comeback inning against the Brewers. Can we expect seeing him in some big spots going down the stretch?
Oh yeah, you'll see him. We like what we saw the other night there in Milwaukee. I thought he looked very good. You know, he's a guy that's been on our radar here. Mm-hmm. He's had a lot of ups and downs, you know, with the injuries and things. And you know, when they put him in the bullpen in Buffalo, he really thrived down there. And it looks like maybe right now that's his role anyway. And you know, if the situation calls tonight, in the next few days, you'll see him. We do have our go-to guys later in the game, but we think he can help us here, not just fill a spot.
Right.
John Gibbons joins us in Baseball Central. Daniel Norris made his last start for the Buffalo Bisons last night. He will be moved into the bullpen in Buffalo, and I would presume that when the rosters expand, John, he'll be up here. Is there any type of timetable that would see him up here sooner, though?
Well, Jeffy, I mean, you never know. You know, he's the kid's been dominating this whole season down the minor leagues. He's been jumping levels and holding his own, really standing out. So, you know, he's another guy that the organization really loves. He's got a bright future, and we'll look at it in the next few days and see if there's a spot, some way he could help us here. The rosters expand pretty soon anyway. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. We'll see where we're sitting probably at the end of the weekend, since he came off his start, just yesterday. But you know what? He's another pitcher that our fans can get excited about. That's for sure.
Yeah, Gibby, let me ask you about Jose Reyes. He's been tearing it up lately. He just came off three hits in Milwaukee. What do you see as the biggest difference been lately in his game?
Well, Bark, he's like most of them. When they're getting good pitches to hit, when they're not too mm-hmm. aggressive. I mean, he's an aggressive hitter anyway.
Right.
Especially for a leadoff type guy. But he thrives on that. I mean, that's what his game is. But when he's getting a pitch he can handle, not chasing out of the zone, especially early in the count. He's very dangerous, and I think he's at his best too when he'll take some hits the opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
He's primarily a pull hitter type, but I mean he's got the ability to use the whole field. And so when the particular pitcher's on that night and he's throwing a lot of off speed pitches at him or living on the outside part of the plate, if he'll take his hits the other way, that's when he's really, really good. So, mm-hmm. but no question. I mean, he had a good series there in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And he's a key guy for us. He's a catalyst. He's at the top of the lineup, gets on base for Cabrera and Batista and Eddie and those guys. And, that's how we win.
Right.
John Gibbons joining Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker on Baseball Central, brought to you by Home Hardware. Marcus Stroman, after his last start, got together with Pete Walker, and the reporters who were with the team on the road were writing about this, and they were working. John, I don't know if there was concern about tipping pitches or just Marcus and Pete wanted to do a little preventative maintenance, I guess, and just kind of make sure that Marcus wasn't tipping pitches and that he was doing things a little differently from the set position. What did you guys see that led to that being worked on?
Well, Jeff, anytime a pitcher goes out there and he has a tough, I mean, he didn't make it through the inning,
mm-hmm.
and they're throwing a bunch of hits against him, and Stroh's been a guy that's, I mean, he's really been a dominating pitcher here. He's had maybe not even a handful of rough outings, but he's been pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he's off a little bit and they seem to be, he threw a couple breaking balls at, primarily Abreu that, most guys aren't even going to get a piece of. And they threw some hits out there and they didn't even flinch on him. Those kind of things always get your attention that maybe I was tipping something. But we don't necessarily think that's the case, but you always look at those things. I mean, those are some of the things that are red flags and you say, well, we better take a look at it. When they're spitting on certain pitches, not even offering at them and things like that. And that is what looked like happened a couple mm-hmm. times, a couple hitters there. So, we really didn't find anything, but it's, one thing you got to do throughout a season, those are the little things, but can turn into big things, but you got to stay on top of those to make sure there's nothing starting to happen that can tip some guys off what's coming.
Mm-hmm. How did Marcus react to what happened?
You mean by being taken out of the game?
Yeah, not in reaction to being taken, but just to having it handed to him. Basically, how mm-hmm. how's he been the past couple of days as he's prepared for this start?
Oh, he's very professional. I mean, he's a very mature kid, and he gets it. He knows he's good, and he is good. But at the big league level, even your top pitchers in the game that have been doing it for years, I mean, they have those outings where they get it handed to them. And mm-hmm. Even in that outing the other day, they squirted a couple balls in there, one down to the first baseline, and then there was a little C&I ground ball to the left side. And the reason we wanted to try to keep him in, give him a shot the next inning, but he was coming up on 40 pitches and starting mm-hmm. the game that way as a young kid. I mean, we got to be cautious with that. And the same thing happened to Hutch the final game of that series. He almost didn't make it out of the first inning, simply just to protect him a little bit, but he managed to get through it and ended up going seven. So Stroh would be fully capable, hopefully, regrouping in that game and going deeper, but it was just too many pitches early. But I mean, he gets it. I mean, he understands. It's you know, we're thinking of his long term future too. So, but he's not one of those kids that gets rattled easy. I mean, he's got a ton of confidence. You guys know that. You see him, and you just deal with it. You just move on to the next one. You've got no other choice.
Gibby, any update on Brett Laurie?
No, I haven't heard. You know, usually the trainers come in here every couple of days and let me know. You know, he's out there in Arizona doing his rehab stuff right now. And you know, to tell you the truth, I'm not sure when he's going to be back. I mean, you won't see him in the next couple of weeks. You know, hopefully sometime in September.
Mm-hmm. John, good of you to do this. Go get him tonight.
Yeah. Thanks, Gibby.
All right, boys.
Good luck.
Take care. That is John Gibbons, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. So, Brett Laurie, at least a couple of weeks away.
So that doesn't sound promising, really.
Well, if he's working on his own in Arizona right now, and he's not with, you know, the organization,
he's got to be closer than not close, right?
Well, I would think it might mean you might
further
be
away.
Further away. If he's not even with the minor league complex, he's working out in his own.
Well, he would have to be with somebody. I'm sure they're not letting him, you know, go out and throw or hit without a trainer being there. A
couple of weeks away. You've got to hope you're playing meaningful baseball. If you're not playing meaningful baseball at that point, you might as well tell them to shut it down.
Well, yeah, it's
but we're not going to go there yet. By the way, I've been told that the Jays have and the Jays medical people have sat down with Brett, and that they think they've come up with an explanation for the recurring oblique injuries. Which,
yeah, that's, you know, that's another, guy that just needs to know how it takes to play every day in the big leagues.
Got to learn how to be a big league baseball player.
Exactly. It's not that we don't appreciate the way he plays and what he brings to a game, but sometimes you have to know when to tone it back a little and just, you're more important being on the field on an everyday basis for 162 games than, you know, missing a couple of months. So maybe this is a very good learning curve for him.
The other thing John Gibbons said that kind of got my attention, Daniel Norris, John Gibbons said, we'll see where we are at the end of the weekend. Now, today is the 22nd, so the rosters are going to expand in 10 days. But I almost got the sense that we may see Daniel Norris up here Monday or Tuesday against the Red Sox. In other words, we may not. Daniel Norris's first outing out of the bullpen might end up being in Toronto. That's almost my takeaway from it. Now, I'm not putting words in John Gibbons' mouth, but it's entirely possible we'll see him up here sooner than later.
I would think that may be a little tough. You may just want to get his feet wet just because of who he is. He's the best prospect the Jays have to offer right now. You want to make sure all of the ducks are in a row. You know what I mean? So I don't think and throwing him into a situation like this because, let's face, they're in a pennant race, and you have to make sure that he's, you know, okay with coming out of the bullpen and who knows, he may not come out to face three or four guys. It may just be coming out to face one guy like a David Ortiz. You know what I'm saying? So you have to make sure that you know, the Jays right now can't be messing around and all the ducks have to be in a row, making sure their bullpen's the way it's supposed to be. And because they're going to have to make a run in September. It's, you know, it's all hands on deck, no messing around. Not saying he can't come here and help the Jays, just saying you have to make sure that a guy has never done it before, that he's prepared more mentally than physically.
We will be joined, by the way, at 12:40 by Ben Badler of Baseball America. We'll talk about the Boston Red Sox signing of Ruzne Castillo, the next Cuban star, if you want to call him that, and the Red Sox have signed him. About 28 teams worked him out or attended workouts for Castillo, and Ben Badler's been all over the story, so he'll join us after the break. Should we do the Home Hardware Ask the Experts right now, or wait for Ben? Yeah, let's do it. We'll do it now. We'll do the Home Hardware Ask the Experts segment right now. This is, of course, brought to you by Home Hardware. This is where I ask the expert, Kevin, to answer a question, and then I kind of sit back, and then I just kind of sit back and let him go. I think we're going to go with the question on Pompey and Norris, because we just talked about Daniel Norris. Why would the Blue Jays rush Pompey and Norris like this?
Sure, well,
that's from Ron. And I mean, let's talk about, just to refresh people's memory, Dalton Pompey, he's 21 years old, as Jamie Campbell pointed out on Blue Jays Connected.
he is in his fifth or sixth year. We're not talking about a 19-year-old kid. Mm-hmm. He's just been promoted to AAA. Mm-hmm. Daniel Norris was promoted to AAA. He's made his last start for the Bisons. He'll be throwing out of the bullpen from this point on the rest of the year, at least. Next year he'll figure in the Jays rotation picture. But you talked about Dalton Pompey in particular on Blue Jays Connected and just how what it says about a guy that he's gone up three levels in 1 year. Mm-hmm. And I don't want you to go over that again because I think it's important. As someone who played in the minors and knows what it takes to go up, right, to see a kid, I don't care how old you are, right, go up three levels.
What is he, 22 years old, right?
21, 22.
Okay, when I was that age, I had no idea what I could and couldn't hit, meaning I didn't know what the plate should look like. Meaning, if you can't hit a fastball in, why swing at it? Swing at the things that you can hit. And obviously, this kid has made those adjustments and made them quicker than most. And also, I will say this. I played for Gary Allison, which is the AAA manager for Buffalo. He knows exactly what it takes for players to go to the big leagues. I played with him in 1998 when I was called up for the first time with the Milwaukee Brewers. He knows what it takes on an everyday basis to play here. That's one of the main reasons I think why the Blue Jays may mm-hmm. have sent their two prospects to Gary Allison, just because of that reason. Because every day it's different in AAA than it is, say, in AA. In AA, it's more of a structured. The manager's going to tell you where to go, right, how to do it, what time BP is, when you should be, wherever you should be. AAA is not like that at all. AAA is more of a, you need to do what you should do to prepare yourself to play every day. That's what that level is, just like the big leagues. The big leagues, no manager comes to you and says, Kevin Barker, you need to go take batting practice at 12:15. This is what happens, whatnot. You need to work on this. That's exactly what AAA is. Unlike A-ball and AA, which is a very structured league, meaning exactly what I mm-hmm. told you. So I think that's one of the main reasons. To me, looking at this, now we can't answer why an organization would call up any of those guys, but being an ex-player mm-hmm. and knowing how the first two levels are and knowing who the manager is in AAA, which is a Gary Allison, a guy that knows everything there is to know about baseball, being an ex-catcher and all of those things, I think that's one of the main reasons why.
So you're saying, and again, the questioner used the word rush, they may not be rushing Dalton Pompey.
No. Oh, well, I personally don't. Why would you rush him? That's my question. He has to be good before you're going to rush him. He has to have an idea of what he's doing at the plate before you're going to rush him. You're not going to send a guy to AAA because a lot of the AAA guys, pitching-wise, are guys that's been in the big leagues, know how to get big league hitters out. You're not going to send a guy because mentally it's just going to blow that guy up. Mm-hmm. He's going to go from one level at 295, I think he hit in AA, to going to AAA. You have to have an idea. You have to have some clue of what you're doing before you go to the plate in AAA. And unless he has that, the Blue Jays are not going to call him up to AAA. And they're just not going to do it.
And Daniel Norris, well, he's pretty much dominated everywhere.
Exactly, but again, it gets back to the manager. Gary Allison is a ex-catcher and knows what fingers to put down, where and when you should throw a guy. It's just like we talked about Aaron mm-hmm. Sanchez, that learning curve. He's learning in the big leagues. He didn't really learn in AAA as much. That's what we're talking about. It's a learning process, but when you can put yourself around people like a Gary Allison, man, it's going to make you that much of a better player, and it's going to make you more advanced, meaning you – that means John Gibbons is not going to have to come to you and say, hey, man, you should have bunted that guy over. You already know to do that. That's what I'm saying. So that's why you put managers like Gary Allison in AAA is just the reason why we just talked.
A reminder to submit your home hardware, ask the expert questions.
Great question, Ron.
Sportsnet.ca/experts. Yes, it was.
Yes.
This is Baseball Central. Ben Badler of Baseball America will join us. The Red Sox have signed Rusney Castillo. They're spending a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get Ben Badler to tell us what exactly they are getting when Baseball Central continues on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
We're having too much fun.
Always. Happy Friday, man.
Who the hell kidnapped Jeff Blair and replaced him with me? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
It is baseball. Yeah, you.
It's
I know
a good
you
question.
Want, it is. It's a hell of a question this morning, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It is a Friday edition of Baseball Central. I'm actually going to get to see baseball this weekend, I think.
Yeah.
There's three.
Meaningful.
Three.
That's all you asked for, right? Meaningful baseball in August. Yeah. Well, guess what?
Yeah, well,
it's here.
We've got it. The Jays will play the Rays in the first of a 9-game homestand starting tonight, and it'll be Marcus Stroman on the mound against Drew Smyly. The game will be on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and, of course, on Sportsnet. Then the Boston Red Sox come into town, and then, of course, it's Derek Jeter's final series in Toronto as a member of the Blue Jays. Well, the Red Sox are doing a worst to first to worst. I don't know if they're going to be the worst team in baseball, but they're certainly they've gone from outhouse to penthouse back to outhouse, I guess, in the span of 3 years. And the Red Sox today have also agreed to terms. They've also signed Ruzne Castillo, a 27-year-old Cuban outfielder, to a 6-year, $72.5 million contract, making it the highest first-year contract ever for a Cuban player. He's 5'9", 205 pounds. Ben Badler of Baseball America has been all over this story, and he joins us on Baseball Central. Ben, I was going to say that's a lot of money, but if this guy is as good as some of the scouts are saying and has the ceiling, even at 27, as some of the scouts are saying, I mean, the fact of the matter is this is the guy that could be in the majors and contributing awfully quickly, isn't it?
Yeah, this is a guy who, you know, look, we saw what happened with Yoenis Cespedes and Jose Abreu. These Cuban guys who are in their mid to late 20s, these guys have a lot of baseball experience. Granted, the Cuban league they're playing in isn't the caliber of Major League Baseball. It's probably closer to an A-ball level. But these guys are old enough and experienced. I'm certainly physically ready to step right into a Major League lineup. And I think that's, I mean, the minor league season is just about done anyway right now. So, you know, maybe ideally you'd want him to get a little bit of a tune-up just given the layoff that he's had. But, you know, given that Boston isn't obviously going anywhere in 2014, you know, I think he's going to get some time in spring training and be right on the big league club next year.
Ben, as you point out, he has gained 20 pounds since leaving Cuba. And as you also point out, that has been reflected by surprising power, at least in front of the scouts during the workouts. And as you say, some scouts are now putting a 60 on his raw power number after originally pegging him below average to average raw power. How difficult is it for scouts to judge power when you're dealing with a guy who does something like put 20 pounds on? I mean, clearly he's physically he's a different player than what he was in Cuba now because of this extra weight. And I guess is there a concern about that quickly added power?
Yeah, I think it's definitely tricky when you're looking at a guy who puts on 20 pounds and it's not doing it, putting a dent in his belt. I mean, this is a lot of muscle that he's packed on into a pretty quick amount of time. So yeah, it's really pretty dramatically changed the projection for him. I think before he left Cuba, there were scouts that I talked to who saw him. I mean, he's always had plenty of speed. He's a well above average runner, and he's been able to retain that speed even with the extra weight that he's having to carry around on his frame. But yeah, certainly the power has increased. Talking to scouts who saw him before he left Cuba, you know, some of them did see him as an everyday guy, maybe in the mold of a Rajai Davis kind of guy, though. Somebody who can play center field, can run well, can play good defense for you at a premium position, but is more of a, you know, a line drive, gap to gap type guy. But you see this guy now, and he's, you know, he's bigger and significantly stronger than what he was when he was in Cuba. That pretty dramatically changes the power projection that you have for a guy. I mean, we've seen that with other Cuban guys who've come out Recently, somebody like Alexander Guerrero, who signed with the Dodgers, got into a much better physical condition after he left Cuba. I think Castillo is certainly a much better athlete than Guerrero ever was. But yeah, certainly the added weight and the added power is pretty dramatically changed a lot of teams' projections on him. I talked to some teams who had him pegged as, you know, maybe a fourth outfielder when they saw him on the Cuban national team, and those guys saw him in the open showcase that he had in Miami and in private workouts, and they said, look, we had to go back and change our reports because this guy certainly looks like an everyday guy now.
Yeah, Ben, let me ask you, what does this say to you about the Red Sox? They've spent a lot of money. Are they in it next year to win it?
That's what it seems like between this move and between the moves that they made at the trade deadline. They, you know, I think there's certainly teams want to hold on to their top prospects, and I think that's reflected in a lot of the other trades that were made out there. I think Addison Russell going from Oakland to the Cubs is really the only premium prospect who traded hands around July. So a lot of the moves the Red Sox made, getting, you know, Yoan Cespedes, Alan Craig, these guys who are not going to be guys who are in A-ball and might help the team in 2016 or 2017. These are guys who are going to immediately help the club next year. So I think they're looking at 2015 as, all right, we had a, you know, obviously we had a down year this year. You know, you look at a team like the Angels who did the same thing last year, had a down year and clearly have bounced back this year just because of the talent they had on the roster. I think they're looking at some of the younger guys like Xander Bogaerts or Mookie Betts, maybe not Jackie Bradley at this point, given that they just signed Castillo. But I think they're looking for those guys to step forward, and they're looking for the guys that they've just brought in the trade, in these trades, and for Castillo as well to help them contend again next year.
Mm-hmm. Ben, it was great of you to do this today on such short notice. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Ben.
Oh, thanks for having me on, guys.
Take care. That is Ben Badler of Baseball America. You can read his stuff, www.baseballamerica.com. And he's been all over the Rusney Castillo signing. 6 years, $72.5 million.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of money. I got to tell you, though, to me, this indicates that people who thought Yoan Cespedes might just be joining the organization for the rest of the year and being flipped, I bet that Yoan Cespedes ends up with a nice contract out of this as well. And if you're Rusney Castillo, Kevin, you're coming to North America, you've got David Ortiz and Yoan Cespedes in your corner helping you acclimate.
That's pretty good. It is. But it also tells me that we talked about the changes that the Blue Jays may have to make next year, you know, above the baseball team. It's going to be real tough when you see things like this happen, because these teams like the Yankees, Tampa Bay that had bad years, are going to get super better next year. You're going to have to stay afloat with them. And when you start, you know, getting rid of people, that's going to be real hard to do that. What I'm saying is, so I don't think you're going to see drastic changes with the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I'm, you know.
You can look at it like that, too.
Other than Aroldis Chapman, the Jays really haven't been in a great deal in a lot of these Cuban prospects. And you know, at some point, I think it's a question. We don't have time today, but at some point, it's a question I definitely want to address, because you're absolutely right. This is a quick fix.
Mm-hmm.
And tell you what, I don't think the Red Sox like being in last place.
No.
I don't think they like it at all. For Kevin Barker, Ben Badler, and of course, the manager, John Gibbons, this is Jeff Blair saying thanks for joining us in Baseball Central. Jays and Rays, they start their 3-game series tonight at the Rogers Center, a 9-game homestand. Get out to see the Jays. You wanted meaningful baseball in August. You have meaningful baseball in August. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Baseball Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network is brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice.